And a good Tuesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and Facebook. Some internet issues plaguing X and some other websites this morning. We'll hopefully try and get up there before the show ends this morning. You can also listen to the show 24/7 on demand on your own time by visiting the website nickcraig.com or checking out the show in your favorite podcast app. Our show this morning is brought to you in part by The Law Group. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call 910-251-6088. We are going to continue our coverage this morning of what has been a busy couple of days as it relates to immigration across the state of North Carolina. We've got some new details on that coming in. Plus, we'll be joined by a U.S. Senate candidate, Michael Whatley, coming up here a little bit later on in the program to discuss the immigration issue and some other issues as it relates to the U.S. Senate race. However, we start with some pretty big local news this morning as it relates to the North Carolina General Assembly and representatives across our region. Republican Representative Ted Davis has announced his plan to retire at the end of his current term in the North Carolina House, and New Hanover County Commissioner Dane Scalise, who is also a Republican, has filed paperwork to run for the District 20 seat that Representative Davis currently holds. Davis telling WECT News last night, quote, "After 30 years as an elected official, I'm going to retire at the end of my present term. In fact, I recruited Dane Scalise to run in my place." Scalise said by email when confirming his intentions to run to WECT News, quote, "Life is unaffordable for our citizens and District 20 needs a fighter in Raleigh. This Ted has been a tremendous representative and friend, and I'm honored he asked me to run next year." So that election, of course, will coincide with all of the other major elections that we are going to watch taking place in 2026, as there will be a Republican primary in March, and then on to a general election coming up in November of next year. It is not immediately clear who the Democrat candidate that Commissioner Scalise will run against in his position, and just kind of playing this out longer term. Commissioner Scalise is in the middle of a four-year term on the New Hanover County Commission. So if he is successful in getting elected to District 20, that will leave a vacancy on the New Hanover County Board of Commissioners that the local Republican Party, because Commissioner Scalise is a Republican, the local Republican Party will have to fill. This is still a very dynamic and active situation. We will track it as we head through the end of this year and into early next, and we look forward to once again be joined by Commissioner Scalise as he kicks off his campaign and runs for the North Carolina House representing District 20. That is kind of the northern and eastern half of New Hanover County. It does not include the vast majority of the city of Wilmington. That's District 18 with Deb Butler. It's kind of the northern military cutoff area over to some of our beach communities on the eastern half of the county that District 20 does currently represent. So we'll continue to track that as we head into next year. All right, on the immigration front this morning, still remains a very dynamic and active situation there. According to new information out this morning from Customs and Border Protection, DHS, there have now been 130 illegal aliens arrested in the city of Charlotte in just the past couple of days. This is all part of Operation Charlotte's Web, as Customs and Border Protection was cracking down and continues to crack down on illegal immigration across the Queen City. Reading directly from the press release from DHS, among those taken into custody are 44 criminal illegal aliens whose criminal records include aggravated assault, assault with a dangerous weapon, assault on a police officer, battery, driving under the influence, and hit and run. Arrests also include two known gang members. A DHS spokesperson saying, quote, "There is absolutely no excuse to continue allowing criminal illegal aliens to terrorize our American communities. These are violent assailants, gang members, and repeat offenders who have zero regard for the rule of law in our country. They are here illegally and should never have been here in the first place. Under President Trump and Secretary Noem, we are removing the worst of the worst criminal illegal aliens from our communities once and for all. And it provides some information on some of the individuals arrested. One of the individuals here is a known 18th Street gang member from Honduras. Another Honduras gang member, another member from Honduras, a known MS-13 gang member. A variety of charges there. We went through some of these yesterday, these aggravated assaults. Some of these other cases, DHS now providing the background and information on some of these individuals that have been caught up in their immigration operations that have been taking place in the city of Charlotte. And reaction continues to come in to the state as well. Former Democrat governor, now turned Senate candidate Roy Cooper. Former Democrat Governor Roy Cooper wrote on X yesterday, quote, "I prosecuted violent criminals and fought to keep them behind bars. So I know the importance of using federal resources to deport violent criminals and keep our border strong. But randomly sweeping up people based on what they look like, including American citizens and those with no criminal records, risks leaving innocent, leaving violent criminals at large while hurting families and the economy." And I find this to be rather interesting. And this is something that I think you need to be aware of and be prepared on in terms of a talking point. You'll hear from Democrats like Josh Stein, like Roy Cooper, individuals, quote, with no criminal records. And this has always been one of the talking points and one of the issues that the left has, in my opinion, completely fallen flat on its face on. This issue, this concept that coming into the country illegally is somehow not a crime. The idea, the concept that you can just waltz your way into the United States and not deal with any consequence of it. And they'll say, "Oh, these people aren't violent. These people are they're not criminals. They're not this. They're not that." Well, I think many folks would be of the mindset that coming into the United States illegally, purposefully going around what is a legal point of entry, is breaking the law. And it is, in fact, a crime to do so. But the left always masquerades this by saying individuals, quote, with no criminal records. And so while some of them may not have criminal records once they are in the United States, they did, in fact, knowingly and willingly break the law to enter the country. And for the vast majority of Americans, they are not in favor of that. And I got an email yesterday from one of our listeners, Steve, and he said, "Nick, you mentioned that this is an 80-20 political issue. You need to start, you know, backing some of this stuff up so that we can, be prepared and have, the information we need to back this up." So I'm going to do that this morning. Here is a recent Harvard-Harris poll, which was out in October of this year. And so this was a question of what are some of the top issues? And you can see prices in the economy continue to remain the top two, which is no surprise. We talked about this in the immediate aftermath of the municipal elections here in North Carolina, with the elections that took place in New York State, or New York City, I should say, and in Virginia, New Jersey. There's no question about it. The economy remains a major, major issue for the vast majority of people. In third place is healthcare at 24%, and tied in third place as well is immigration at 24%. So tied for the third most important issue in this Harvard-Harris poll, which was out in early October, shows that immigration, while I believe the issue is definitely not as prominent as it once was. The issue is not anywhere near as bad as it was during the Biden administration. It has improved. It still remains a major issue. So here's the 80-20 part of it. This is a part of the poll and the question. Deporting immigrants who are here illegally and have committed crimes. A whopping 78% of individuals support that statement. 78% 8%. So this is the most recent data to back up the case that this is very clearly an 80-20 issue. And when you break it down based on party, this is a winning issue for the GOP. I know that based on some of the commentary yesterday, hopefully you were able to join us for Monday's show. If not, it is one of those shows that is much more important to watch than listen, as we had some of those videos from Charlotte over the weekend. You can check it out on our YouTube or Rumble channels. You can see that the groups that are out there are obviously not in favor of Customs and Border Protection being on the streets within the city of Charlotte. Democrats like Roy Cooper, Democrats like Josh Stein, Anderson Clayton, the chairwoman of the North Carolina Democrat Party, all of the other radical progressives in the state, lo and behold, they're not in favor of illegal immigration. But overall, the American voting population very much is in favor of the policies that are being carried out by the Trump administration. So the question, once again, was deporting immigrants who are here illegally and have committed crimes. 78% say yes, 22% say no. Amongst Republican voters, 87% support the statement. Among independent voters, 77% support the statement. And among Democrats, 69% support that statement. So almost 70% of Democrats agree that if you are here illegally in the country and have committed any sort of crime, doesn't say violent crimes, it just says have committed crimes, whether that's shoplifting, assault, DWI, DUI, crimes, that you should be removed from the country. And so this is absolutely a major, major issue for Democrats to deal with. And going down in the poll just a little bit, here was another question that was asked. Deporting all immigrants who are here illegally. 56% of overall people supported that. 44% were against. 76% of Republicans agreed with the statement. 54% of independents. So over half of independent voters agree that anybody who is in the country, regardless of whether they are a violent criminal or not, should be out of the country. 54%. That is a pretty strong number. And 36% of Democrats agree with the statement as well. And obviously, 36 is not a plurality. 36 is not a majority in this. But folks, it's not 10%. It's not 5%. It's not 8%. 36%. More than 1 in 4 Democrats believe that anybody who is in the country illegally should be deported. And so I've asked this question a lot on a variety of issues over the last couple of weeks now, but I'll ask it again as it relates to immigration. What the hell are Democrats thinking? What data are they looking at? What sort of political polling? What sort of information are they using to concoct this narrative that it is beneficial for them politically to be in favor of illegal immigration? I'm not seeing anything in this poll or any other polls. This is just the most recent one that I had bookmarked from October. I haven't seen any polling that backs this up. I have not seen any polling that would lead you to believe that, oh, Republicans are completely botching this issue. Democrats are doing a phenomenal job. Democrats are just, you know, running away with some of these major issues, and it's the GOP that's failing. And I'm just looking at the Harvard-Harris poll website right now. Looks like they've got their November poll that just came out in the last couple of days, and the issue's still up there. Immigration is still tied with healthcare at 26%. As a major, major issue. And I'm curious if they asked some of those same questions like we saw in the last poll. Yeah, here it is. Deport immigrants who are here illegally and have committed crimes. It's up to 79% overall. 89% of Republican voters, 79% of independents, and 69% of Democrats. So the same number there. And then deporting all immigrants who are here illegally, 54-46, 81% of GOP voters, 48% of independents, and 32% of Democrats. So similar numbers being seen in both of these pollings. The independent dipping just a little bit, GOP up, Democrats dipping as well. So the data is very clear. It's not a winning message for Democrats. And so as much as they try and pander, as much as they try and, you know, concoct these statements and make the comments like Roy Cooper, well, these people aren't criminals. These people have done nothing wrong. These people are just walking down the street. They're just trying to live their lives and just trying to do whatever they can to stay ahead. And the evil, awful, terrible Customs and Border Protection are just ripping them from the streets. It's just not true. First of all, it's not true. Second of all, people don't see it like that. And they never have. That's what I have always found so fascinating about this discussion over illegal immigration. There's never been, at least recently, a point in time where you can point, where you can look at and point to as a winning this issue being in favor of illegal immigration, where you can point to that and say, that's a winning issue for our political party. Now, you know, maybe in years past that's been the case. I doubt it, but maybe in years past that's been the case. But right now it's not. It's unequivocally not. Yet, as we sit here this morning, as we continue to watch these immigration operations take place in the city of Charlotte, it's a losing issue. And it's not only a slight losing issue, it's a losing issue by a lot. Overwhelmingly, it's a losing issue. So you have to begin to ask yourself the question, where does the political left go from here? Where do Democrats go from here in terms of the messaging on this issue? And so they're out there when they're dressed up in their frog costumes and they're out there hooting and hollering about you know, Donald Trump this and F ICE that and you're a fascist this. I mean, all of that is all fine and dandy. That's pretty par for the course. But you do have to begin to ask yourself, at what point does the party move away from this being, again, a major issue? We saw that they tried to play this up as a major issue in 2024, and it backfired in an incredibly hilarious fashion, to the point in which Donald Trump became the first Republican president to win the popular vote in 20 years. Some comments coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. Dems are out of touch with their party. They bow to the small percent of screaming memes who are out demonstrating and make fake news. And this goes to my broader point, and I agree with your statement completely. Thanks, Leslie. Great point. This goes to my broader kind of, at this point, I'll call it a thesis over the last couple of months, that there is ongoing, as you and I chat this morning, or this afternoon if you're listening after the fact, that there is a civil war that is continuing ongoing within the Democrat Party with seemingly no solution to it anytime soon. Because as Customs and Border Protection, as immigration officials continue to conduct these operations like they are in Charlotte, the Democrats are just losing the issue on. They have nothing to say. And it's only going to get worse for them, because here is some news coming out this morning. Federal immigration agents are continuing in Charlotte, but they are also conducting operations starting as early as today in Raleigh, our state's capital city. Governor Josh Stein confirming this on X yesterday evening, right around 8 o'clock, saying, quote, "Our office is aware of reports that Border Patrol is bringing its operation to Raleigh. Once again, I call on federal agents to target violent criminals, not neighbors walking down the street, going to church, or putting up Christmas decorations. Stop targeting people simply going about their lives because of the color of their skin, as you're doing in Charlotte." Ah, yes, the old racism card. Hadn't that been overplayed just a little bit at this point? I mean, everything that is in our political system, anything that Democrats are on the wrong side of. They point at the GOP, they point at Republicans, and just claim that you're doing what you're doing because you're racist. Whether race is involved in it or not, that's just always the go-to. The governor ending his comments by saying, quote, to the people of Raleigh, remain peaceful, and if you see something wrong, record it and report it to local law enforcement. Let's keep each other safe. That's kind of ironic, right? Let's keep each other safe. Yeah, let's keep each other safe. But, you know, we don't want to enforce immigration law in Raleigh. We'll keep you safe, but not safe from a Honduran illegal immigrant who's got 4 DWIs in the United States. Right? We're not going to keep you safe from that. But we'll keep you safe from Customs and Border Protection. We're not going to keep you safe from dangerous MS-13 Trende Aragua gang members who are roaming the streets of Charlotte and Raleigh. We don't care about keeping you safe from that, but we sure as hell care about keeping you safe from law enforcement, federal law enforcement, as a matter of fact. Great comment coming in at our Rumble live chat. That post is the definition of virtue signaling. Oh, absolutely it is. And it makes sense that it's virtue signaling. We just went through the data from that Harvard-Harris poll. And so what is Josh Stein going to come out and say? I support illegal immigration? I mean, that is unequivocally a losing political message. That is unequivocally a losing political issue. So he can't come out and say that. He can't come out, even though I'm sure he would want to. He can't come out and say, I support illegal immigration. So he has to come out and claim that Customs and Border Protection and the Trump administration are racists, because the overall larger issue of illegal immigration is one that Democrats don't have the answer on. And it's the very similar comments coming in from the mayor of Raleigh as well, who, of course, as you are, I'm sure, surprised to hear, is also a flaming liberal, a flaming Democrat. She spoke to a local media in Raleigh yesterday, confirmed this to a couple of different media outlets. This is her comments to Channel 11, ABC 11 in Raleigh, saying, quote, as the capital city, it is important to us that everyone who lives, works, plays, and learns in Raleigh feels safe. And to the virtue signaling that we heard from Stein, it's the same thing here. Don't you remember back just a couple of years ago, 3 years ago or so, if you were critical of what was going on at the border, if you were critical of the previous administration's policies of open borders, anybody can come into the country, we're waving the white flag, just come on in, no issues at all. And if you brought those concerns up and said, hey, you know, I'm a little bit concerned that people are coming into the United States illegally and moving into my community, you were called a what? You were called a racist. Your concern in terms of public safety was not relevant. But now we get to hear from Democrats like Josh Stein, like Roy Cooper, and like Raleigh Mayor Jeanette Cowell, quote, as the capital city, it is important to us that everyone who lives, works, plays, and learns in Raleigh feels safe. Unless, of course, your concern is about Trende Aragua. Unless, of course, your concern is about MS-13. Unless, of course, your concern is about cashless bail. Unless, of course, your concern is about repeat offenders. If you don't feel safe because of those issues, well, to hell with you. But, you know, she says for everybody, presumably regardless of your political background, you should feel safe. But if you criticize cashless bail, if you criticize these woke, out-of-control district attorneys who allow violent criminals to go through essentially a turnstile and get back out on the streets, if you criticize any of those things, well, then you're just holding up the inherently racist judicial system that exists in the United States, right? It's laughable when you see these statements. People like Mayor Jeanette Cowell, Roy Cooper, and Josh Stein would not even sit on the sideline, but would march, in the case of Roy Cooper, would march with Black Lives Matter, would march with left-wing groups as they torched downtown Raleigh in the summer of peace and love in 2020, marching with individuals, defacing property, and then we'll tell you and I that it's important for everybody to feel safe. When they say everybody feels safe, they mean Democrats and their Democrat cohort of individuals. They don't care about anybody else. If you feel unsafe in your neighborhood because violent criminals are out on the streets, they've been arrested. Law enforcement's done their job, but the judicial system isn't holding them to account. If you bring up those concerns, it doesn't matter. I guess we only care about people's safety as it relates to illegal immigration. She continued in her statement by saying, quote, "We have been made aware that Customs and Border Protection are coming to Raleigh. While the Raleigh Police Department is not involved in immigration enforcement, we are committed to protecting our residents and to follow the law. I can confirm that RPD has not participated in any immigration planning activities. Above all, Raleigh is a safe city with crime down year over year. Public safety is a priority for me and this city council," which are, of course, all Democrats. "This is a key moment to reaffirm our commitment to serving all members of our community. If you need help from the police, you call 911 and help will come. I ask Raleigh to remember our values and maintain peace and respect through any upcoming challenges. Together, we are Raleigh strong." Other Democrats, including Durham Mayor Leo Williams and Governor Josh Stein, reacted to the news as well. Williams saying, quote, "We denounce any efforts that promote exclusion, incite fear, undermine human rights, and compromise safety. Durham does not operate from fear." Durham is one of the most dangerous, violent cities in North Carolina, by the way. "We lead with compassion, justice, and determination. Our schools, neighborhoods, and places of employment are stronger because of the diversity of culture, languages, and experiences that define Durham." It's like we're living in a freaking alternate universe. I mean, seriously, folks. It's like we live in two completely separate realities. It's like we are not standing and viewing the world from the same plane. It's nuts. And it's always the same thing. It's always the same conversation. It's always the same thing. Oh my gosh, we care about safety. Oh my gosh, we don't want people in our community to be fearful. Oh my gosh, we don't want to fear this. We don't want to fear that. But when you bring up any of these other issues, like out of control crime in cities like Charlotte, like Raleigh, like Durham, you're just fear mongering. You must just be a radical right-wing nut job who feels that you might be unsafe because of violent crime in your neighborhood. Notice how these statements never come out after somebody is shot. Notice how these statements never come out when you see, you know, weekends across places like Raleigh, where you've got, in the case of Charlotte, dozens of people shot. You know, we're just told that crime is way down in Raleigh. Here's a story headline. WRAL News published on the November the 16th at 7:46 p.m. Raleigh police investigate after shooting sends one to the hospital. Raleigh police are investigating after a shooting sent one person to the hospital. On Sunday, officers were called to Quarry Street for reports of a shooting. When they arrived, officers found one person who had been shot. They were taken to the hospital and are expected to be okay. WRAL's breaking news tracker was on scene where several police cars were seen across the streets. Police have not released the name of the person who was shot, nor any information about a possible suspect. The investigation is ongoing. Yeah, sounds like safety to me. Yep, sounds like a very safe place to be. No crime in Raleigh. No crime in Durham. Don't feel concerned at all. I mean, you've got a guy getting shot Sunday night in Raleigh. No suspect in custody, but it's fine. Nothing, you know, don't worry about it. Now, if you live in the neighborhood where this happened, would it be a fair assessment to say that you might feel maybe a little uneasy in that neighborhood? Might it be fair to say that you might have some concerns about safety? I mean, somebody was just shot right in front of your house. Here's the screenshot again from the WRAL News website. This is looks like a residential neighborhood where this took place. You got caution tape literally in front of somebody's house. Do you think this makes the people that live there a little uneasy? think it makes them feel a little uncertain about their safety, their children's safety, their grandchildren's safety? I'd say probably. I think that would be a safe assessment to make in the wake of somebody getting shot in front of your house. I mean, I think that would be a normal reaction by almost anybody. If there was violence in front of your house, your place of business, might cause you just a little bit of concern. Just maybe. But yet you don't see the Raleigh mayor coming out with comments like that. You don't see the Durham mayor coming out with comments like that, because it doesn't fit a political narrative, because it doesn't fit any sort of political wedge that they can continue to divide between individuals. Here's a story from over the weekend over in Durham, where we just heard from a Durham city council member. At least one person hurt in shooting outside East Durham restaurant. That's interesting. At least one person was hurt in a shooting-related incident outside of an East Durham restaurant late Saturday night. According to the Durham Police Department, officers responded to an alarm call at Salsa Brava restaurant on Holloway Street shortly after 11:30 p.m. When they arrived, they didn't find anyone hurt, but received information that someone may have been shot. Shortly into their initial investigation, officers were informed that a man arrived at a nearby hospital with a non-life-threatening stab wound. Then, when officers were still investigating, another man who was shot came back to the scene of the restaurant. He was taken to the hospital for non-life-threatening injuries. Police did not provide any additional information into this ongoing investigation. It's unclear if the man who was stabbed is connected to the shooting investigation. But again, no issue. No problem, right? I mean, hold on. What did this clown from Durham have to say about this? Let's see. He said, quote, "We denounce any effort that promotes exclusion, incites fear, undermines human rights, and compromises safety." Was this statement released on Saturday? When somebody was shot outside of a restaurant, somebody else stabbed? To me, that would compromise safety. I would say it would undermine human rights as well. It's literally attempting to take away your ability to live. I would also argue that it incites some level of fear when you have to worry about going to a restaurant and being shot. But no statement from Durham Mayor Leo Williams on that. No statement from Democrat Governor Josh Stein on that. No statement from Democrat Governor Roy Cooper on that. Former Democrat Governor Roy Cooper. Nothing. But when Customs and Border Protection rolls into town and says, hey, if you're here illegally in the United States, and definitely if you're illegally here and have some sort of criminal record in the U.S., we're rounding you up and you're getting deported. Oh, my God. The community is being torn apart. Or as Anderson Clayton, the head of the North Carolina Democrat Party, said, people are being stolen off the streets. The messaging is lost. The battle is lost on this issue. The American people are not behind the Democrats on it. All they can do is spin their tires in the mud. That's all they can do. They're not moving this issue. They are not going to be able to convince the American people that it is okay to break our federal immigration laws and come into the country illegally. They just can't. There's no winning message. There's no winning narrative on this at all. So they can stoke the fear. They can claim that, oh my God, what's happening is the worst thing ever. You got to record it. You got to call 911. You got to do this. You got to peacefully protest. You got to do that. They can do that all that they want. The fact of the matter is the data doesn't lie on this issue at all. Harvard Harris poll out just a couple of days ago. 79% of individuals, including 79% of independent unaffiliated voters, say deporting immigrants who are here illegally and have committed crimes is a good thing and should happen. And oh, I'll also note once again, 69% of Democrats think the exact same way. That is a disastrous number for the political left. Disastrous. So we'll continue to track Operation Charlotte's Web in Charlotte. We'll see what goes on in Raleigh, presumably starting as early as today. I'll be watching the social media channels this afternoon after looks like there was a major cloud flare issue this morning that had the internet out in our social media sites like X down. I'll be keeping you up to date throughout the day on that. Over on my X account as well, you can follow me there at Nicholas M. Craig. We will continue this conversation with a U.S. Senate candidate, Michael Whatley. He'll join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But his conversation is only made possible thanks to our great Patreon members that support the show financially at patreon.com/Nick Craig and Melissa Gott and her amazing team over at The Law Group. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Gott and her team at The Law Group in Wilmington. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, navigating real estate transactions, or maybe you're in a position where you need a strong defense, The Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com, 910-251-6088, or lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate Melissa Gott and her team's support right here on the Nick Craig Show. All right, quick break. We'll return with U.S. Senate candidate Michael Whatley coming up after this as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Tuesday morning, streaming live on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Carolina will be at the center of political attention as we head into 2026 with a major United States Senate race taking place across the Tar Heel State. We know who likely the Democrat candidate's going to be, former Democrat Governor Roy Cooper. And on the Republican side, it's my pleasure to be joined this morning by the former head of the North Carolina Republican Party and the RNC, Michael Whatley. He joins us on the Nick Craig Show. Michael, thanks for the time this morning. Let's jump into what's been going on in the city of Charlotte over the last couple of days. Customs and Border Protection conducting Operation Charlotte's Web. What do you make of the actions there?
Well, it's very important that we have President Trump and his administration down here helping to protect our communities. It's unfortunate that Roy Cooper vetoed legislation that would have forced the Mecklenburg County Sheriff and other sheriffs across the state to honor ICE detainers, and these people would not be on the streets today. But, you know, we need to keep our kids and communities safe and strongly support President Trump taking decisive action to do that.
You know, Michael, I can't believe we're even having this conversation. We're not talking about U.S. citizens. We're not talking about individuals that hold green cards or are here on student visas. We're talking about individuals who decided to skirt past the borders that we have set up in the country, have come into the country illegally. And yet you've got Democrats, even current Democrat Governor Josh Stein, who is seemingly supporting these individuals in their illegal actions.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning. The Democrat Party, especially, you know, with Roy Cooper vetoing that important legislation that would have forced these sheriffs to get these criminals out of the state, you know, they really truly are fighting harder for violent criminal illegal aliens than they are the citizens of North Carolina.
You were head of the North Carolina Republican Party, then moved up to the RNC. And we saw, Michael, that this was a major issue that Democrats were not handling well. That was illegal immigration, the border, immigration as a whole. And I think it's a large part is what led the Trump and Republicans to victory in 2024. Is it shocking to you that they're still continuing down this road on a very unpopular political issue?
It really is. You know, when you have 15 to 20 million illegal immigrants that come across our border and they bring, you know, the scourge of fentanyl and, you know, migrant crime and sex trafficking like we have seen during President Biden's 4 years, that is truly amazing that the Democratic Party would stand up and fight so hard for, you know, bringing those people in. You know, people forget that it wasn't that just Biden allowed them to come in. Biden put them on airplanes and flew them up. Biden, you know, sent forklifts to the state of Texas to get rid of the barbed wire fences that the state of Texas was putting up to stem the flow. So there was an active push by the Biden administration and Democrats to bring those 15 to 20 million illegal immigrants into the country. That is having a lot of ramifications right now, whether they're on Medicaid, which Democrats are continuing to try and fight for, whether they're getting other benefits. You know, the fact is we should not have anywhere near this type of an issue. And the fact that Roy Cooper has doubled down on this issue set and is going to fight against the president's administration if he's allowed to. The fact that he did fight against them while he was governor is really disqualifying when you look at the Senate race.
Here are a couple of the individuals that we're learning information about from Customs and Border Protection. We've got shoplifters, people driving either under the influence or drunk, obviously without a driver's license, aggravated assault, assault with a dangerous weapon, being removed from the country four or five times. Yet Democrats believe that these individuals seemingly have done nothing wrong. Mike, let me ask you, is this just a lack of personal responsibility from the Democrat Party?
Well, it really is. And then you have Anderson Clayton, who is the chair for the North Carolina Democratic Party, you know, putting out tweets basically saying, if you have any information on this, you know, please make sure that you post it, and personally going after the head of enforcement efforts on X. It's absolutely, this is the Democratic Party.
Let's transition into early next year. There's going to be a primary in March. The general election will take place in November of 2026. Tell us a little bit about your experience, not only in North Carolina, but the RNC, and why that sets you apart from other candidates. It'll make you a great U.S. Senator from North Carolina.
Yeah, I am very proud to be endorsed by President Trump. The fact that he called and asked me to get into this race is something that means a lot to me personally, and certainly means a lot to the Republican ecosystem all across the state. Everywhere I've gone, I've been getting a very, very good response. You know, and at the end of the day, in order to win this election, because North Carolina remains a purple state, we're going to have to get out the vote. We're going to have to protect the ballot. That is what I have been doing over the course of 5 years as the RNC or the NCGOP chair and my 2 years as the RNC chair. You know, we know how to win in North Carolina. It was an honor to run North Carolina for President Trump in 2016 as a senior advisor, to be the state chair for him in 2020 and the RNC chair in 2024. And as we look at this state and we figure out what it is that we're going to need to do, you know, we're going to have to turn out low propensity voters, and we know how to do that. And we're going to have to win on the ideas. Good politics make, good policy is good politics. And we need to make sure that we're fighting for the right things, you know, and my platform is fairly simple. We're going to fight for economic policies that are going to create jobs and raise wages, that are going to help our small businesses, our manufacturers, and our farmers. You know, we're going to fight very hard to keep our kids and community safe, and we're going to back our men and women in uniform. You know, these are the things that President Trump ran on. Making sure that we're going to be respected around the world is very important in a state like North Carolina, where we've got more men and women in uniform and veterans than any other state in the country. So we are on the right side of every major issue in this state. Democrats and Roy Cooper are on the wrong side. They're on the 20% side of every 80-20 issue, and that is really, truly the case we're going to go out and prosecute over the next year.
Well, let's talk about the other side. Roy Cooper is not a new person to state politics. He's been involved for 40 years, most recently spending 8 years as governor, and he's not without controversy. But Michael, the left-wing media that pretty much owns media coverage across North Carolina, they've never really criticized him for anything, whether it's NCOR or a whole bunch of other issues that he was responsible for.
No, absolutely not. And he's on the wrong side of every single one of these 80-20 issues. This is a guy who has vetoed tax cuts and responsible balanced budgets. He's vetoed teacher pay raises. He's vetoed police pay raises. He has vetoed legislation that we already talked about to get violent criminal illegal aliens out of this state. He also vetoed legislation to keep woke out of our schools and men out of women's locker rooms. And, you know, then he's also signed an executive order to reimagine law enforcement in North Carolina. He created cashless bail. He created pretrial release. And really, truly created the revolving door that put, violent criminals on the streets over and over and over again in places like Raleigh and Charlotte, all across the state. You know, we go back and talk about DeCarlos Brown, the man who really heinously murdered Irena Zarotska, had been arrested 14 different times and released under Roy Cooper's soft on crime policy. So, you know, we're going to run against him on his record. And we feel very strongly that when the North Carolina voters understand that he is a card-carrying member of the woke mob, they are not going to support Roy Cooper the way they have in the past.
Well, and I'm glad you bring up the woke mob, because I think Roy Cooper and many folks, maybe because of the lack of media coverage, would try and claim, Michael, that he's somewhat of a moderate Democrat. I mean, do you have any evidence to support that claim at all?
Well, he certainly has portrayed himself as an aw-shucks guy from Nash County for the last 38 years that he's been in elected office. But when you take a look at his actions, you look at his votes as a legislator, you look at his vetoes, you look at his executive orders, the record tells a dramatically different story. And that is going to be part of our job to talk about, you know, his record and what he would do as a senator. And the other part is to talk about what I will do as a senator. You know, at the end of the day, this comes down to a vote. Are you going to vote and support for, you know, President Trump's America First agenda or not? And Roy Cooper has said on any number of occasions that he has opposed and will continue to oppose Donald Trump at every turn. I helped get him elected. I have supported him, and I will continue to support him, which ultimately is what this election is going to come down to.
Well, and you talk about that America First agenda, Michael, it's hard to look at the state of North Carolina and say that it's a state that's not in favor of President Donald Trump. He's won the state three times in 2024 by his largest margin out of any of those races. North Carolinians seemingly are in favor of some of those America First policies.
Well, they absolutely are. You know, President Trump, when he ran in 2016, 2020, and 2024, very consistently made it clear that he wants to rebuild our economy so that it works for, you know, every job creator and every employee, that he wants to, you know, keep our kids and our community safe. He wants to rebuild, restore our borders. He wants to make sure that America is respected around the world again. That is an agenda that is strongly supported here in North Carolina, and it's an agenda that I will be running on.
We currently have two Republican senators, Ted Budd, who does not have an election for a couple of years, and Senator Tom Tillis, who currently serves in that seat. He has announced, and of course, that he is retiring. That is why you are in the race. Talk about and speak about the importance of making sure that North Carolina has two Republicans representing us in Washington, D.C. in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, when you look at the map right now, you know, we have 53 Republican senators, and it took all three, you know, 53 to be able to get these major confirmations done, to be able to get the one big beautiful bill, you know, to the president's desk for him to be able to sign it. You know, you cannot take any of these seats for granted. When we look at the election map around the country, you know, we've got very difficult hold here in North Carolina, but we're going to be able to win it. We have a difficult hold up in Maine. We have a difficult hold in Ohio, you know, so it very likely is going to be North Carolina that is going to determine whether we have a Republican Senate or not. And when you think about what happens if we lose the Senate, if we lose the House, the Democrats have made it very clear they're going right back to investigations, to hoaxes, to impeachments. They're going to do everything they can to derail President Trump and his agenda. And we need to make sure that we have a Republican Senate. And in order to do that, we need to hold this seat.
Michael, political campaigns aren't easy. Volunteers, money, support across the state is very much necessary. Tell folks where they can go and get clued in with you and your campaign.
Yeah, michaelwatley.com. And they can follow me on X at WatleyNC. And we are getting a great response all across this state. You know, I've already been in 48 different counties over the last 2.5 months. Meeting with officials, meeting with volunteers, with patriots, speaking at events. And I got to tell you, the grassroots enthusiasm is really strong, and it's also really, really important. You know, we go back to the basics of, you know, getting out the vote and protecting the ballot. You know, we need people who are going to make phone calls and knock on doors, and we need ultimately people to have those five-minute conversations with undecided voters and tell them how important this election is. So, you know, for all of your listeners, it's a matter of sign up, get involved, and then go out there and help us deliver this win for President Trump and North Carolina.
We appreciate the information and insight this morning. Michael Watley joins us on the Nick Craig Show. Always great to catch up with Michael Whatley. Appreciate his time. We will be chatting with the other Republican candidate in Don Brown, who is also running for that same seat. There will be a primary March between those two candidates. We'll be joined by him in the next couple of weeks or so as we look forward to that primary election coming up in March. A busy news week across the state of North Carolina continues. We'll keep an eye on all of it throughout the day right here on the Nick Craig Show, and of course have the latest coming up for you tomorrow morning. Well, that's going to do it for a Tuesday edition. Thanks to the Law Group in Wilmington for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com or give them a call at 910-251-6088. The Nick Craig Show streams live weekday morning, 7 a.m., YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and is available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts and at nickcraig.com. That's going to do it. We're back here Wednesday morning for the Nick Craig Show.